If you would turn to Matthew, the second chapter. Today's title is Paying Homage to the King. And we're going to have a few long scriptures today. But basically, I want to challenge you to get your thinking adjusted properly in who it is that we're coming to glorify and worship and also build a relationship with. In Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, we had the story of the visit of the Magi. And it starts with, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod asked the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We are entering into what they call the Christmas season. This is what the world calls it. And there are various means in which they are celebrating Christmas. But understand, the world celebrates Christian or Christ on their terms, not on God's terms. And I've noticed that even before Thanksgiving, they have been advertising these gifts in which everybody needs. And one of the most distressing one that I saw was this one where a guy is sitting on a couch and his girlfriend, wife, whoever, she leaves the room and there's a box that's ringing inside. And he opens up the box and he looks at the phone, and there's a picture of this infinity tied with a bow. And the next scene cuts away to where they're going outside, and he's like overjoyed with this brand new car. Yeah, that's Christmas. That's what it's about. Christmas is more than just giving gifts and understanding the religious attributes of the holiday. But I want us to really be mindful not to get caught up in all the seductions of the commercialism of a holiday. Because let's face it, the world is going to do things in order to get your money so that God doesn't get his due to expand his kingdom. Think about that for a minute. If our priorities are such that we're giving to buy Christmas gifts and tons of Christmas gifts, and we're not giving to the one who is worthy of all, our priorities are wrong. And our attitude needs to be adjusted. And the church is no better. Because as I've stated before, it's in an apostate situation. It promotes giving because after all the word says it's better to give than to receive. But I would challenge you to give to who? Who are you giving to? What are you giving to? Because you see, the church is also festering and foraging this means of propagating our selfishness and self-centeredness. And we forget that the true example for a believer in Christ is to give and to give sacrificially. And these 12 verses point out how far away we have come in this modern society from the real true spirit of Christ. When we had Williamstown Day, I noticed something that was really pretty funny. I had walked around, I was observing everything, and I was really, you know, really proud of Streams and what you guys were doing and helping out. And, you know, people were asking about the church, and that's pretty exciting. But we had had a flick on, and it was Charlie Brown's Christmas. And at the end, Linus is over there. He's telling about the real meaning of Christmas, about Christ coming to a manger. And the story was great and all this. And not a person except believers were in that room. You see, the world is not interested in the truth. And even the church, to a certain degree, is robbing God's people of truth. And the Magi is a great example for us to understand really the magnitude of how far we have gone away from the truth of Jesus Christ. To the point that what we hear now, it's about the Grinch who stole Christmas. It's about the wonderful life. It's about Snoopy. It's about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's about the Island of Misfit Toys. But it doesn't have any truth of the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, the world has been successful in indoctrinating the church ever so subtly that it's not about Christ. It's about the gifts. It's not about the giver of eternal life. It's about receiving some material thing to make me feel good and edify myself. You see, I am fearful that the church has been so seduced that we do not recognize how far away we have gone. And I'm not against giving the gifts. I'm not against about receiving gifts. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our priorities need to be focused where they need to be. And we need to be giving to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords first and foremost in every aspect of our lives. And we say that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we lay a condition on that. We lay the condition of our wallets. We lay the condition of our time. We lay the condition of what we're going to do or not do. And the fact of the matter is, we have drifted away and forgotten our first love. The Magi. Who were these guys? These guys are representative prophetically of the world. These men were of a kingly court. They were mostly astrologers that studied the stars for truth. And that's how they were able to recognize a miracle that was coming. And they recognized this miracle 2 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And they began to assemble themselves in such a way that they, who had studied to find themselves approved, were invited to come and worship Christ. Now, have you ever wondered when you read the Gospels why Herod was there to kill children 2 years or younger? Have you ever thought about it? Because that's exactly what he did. He killed every male child that was 2 years or younger. And some say even up to the age of 4. Because you see, by the time the Magi got there, Jesus was no longer in the manger. He was a young fella, 2 years of age. You see, Herod, in his own self, was not the true king of Israel. He came from the lineage of Esau, and Scripture tells us that God hated Esau. And because the true king, coming from the lineage of David, was being born into his backyard, he had no intention of worshiping the Christ child. He had every intention of destroying the Christ child, just like Pharaoh did 4,000 years previous when he tried to destroy Moses, and Moses was in his own house. God's so cool. The Magi's were seekers of truth, but some were nothing more than magicians, charlatans, and rogues that made their living deceiving the people by their false practices. And we have that in the church today because we have been seduced by erroneous facts, and the people of God need truth. Psalm 72, verses 10 through 19 says, "The kings of Tarshish and the distant shores will bring tribute to him." Who? Christ. "The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all the day long. Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like grass in the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." This is a prophetic word of Christ and the Magi coming to find him. The Magi were seeking truth. They they were searching for a sign in the heavens that they didn't recognize what this truth was, but they were looking for a sign, and God gave them the sign of the star. And they followed the star. And they went to Jerusalem first because that's where the throne was. And they figured that that's where the king was being born, but there was no king to be found there. And so the Inquisition was going on back and forth that if Herod wanted to worship him, he called in all the chief priests and scribes. And he said, "Where is this Christ child going to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem," according to Micah 5:2. In Bethlehem, which is only 5 miles away from the center of Jerusalem. And yet, these men, these Magi, these Gentiles, were seeking the truth, seeking after to find this one whom was going to be king of the Jews. Actually, the king of the universe had come down upon this planet to live amongst men. And the Jews, who only needed to walk a short distance, didn't even want to go and worship with them. Men who had traveled thousands of miles to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And many today have this thinking, "I don't need to go to church. I don't need to find Jesus. Jesus needs to come and find me." How arrogant. Well, if Jesus is so great, why does he just prove himself to us? How stupid and ignorant. Jesus came because he is king. He didn't come to be made king. He is our King. And the Magi came to honor him and to pay homage to a king, the king. And yet the Jews, who had all the words of prophecy, would not even go. Because all they thought was, there's a threat to the throne. There's a threat to my religious society. There is a threat to my position. And we have that going on today. If they find out that I'm a Christian, what will happen to my position? What will they think of me when I talk about Christ in the workplace? What will they think about me as I return all the things I stole from people? What will they think of me? Who cares? And even today, many Gentiles will not come to Christ, but even worse, none of the Jews come to Him. Very few Jews actually have been enlightened. We call them Messianic Jews. But the nation of Israel has not. They have refused the Savior of the world. Paying homage to Jesus is a privilege. It's not a duty. It's a privilege for every believer. Can you imagine? Now, mind you, the Magi came. It wasn't just three of them. They traveled in a caravan. Could have been hundreds of camels and horses and stuff. I don't know, but they traveled in a caravan. And can you imagine these guys in their entourage finding Jesus at the home of Mary and Joseph? Think about that. Neighbors open up their windows. Man, what's all that stuff going on over there? Why are they stopping at Mary and Joseph's house? And these guys in dressed in their regal clothing, when they see Christ, they bow down to Him. They offer gifts to Him. Can you imagine what the people are thinking? Who are they? Why are they? How come they're? And it's so hard for believers to pay homage to Him every day. And these were men who traveled thousands of miles to pay homage to a king, to one who was superior to them. And they brought special gifts that honored Him, that were sacrificial to them. It wasn't some easy thing for them. But they willingly gave their best to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They gave gold, which points to His deity and His royal lineage as the rightful heir to Israel's throne. They gave frankincense, or incense, which is made from a glittering gum, from the bark of a tree. It points to His intercession for His people, and it is always given as a gift for the priesthood. And remember we talked about how they put the incense on the altar? In the holy place? That's what they did. They put it in there, talking about prayer and a sweet aroma being rolling up into God's nose. It talks about His prayer. He ever makes intercession for us, even now as He sits by the right hand of the Father. And myrrh, which is a special spice that is also a derivative from trees, but it is also a perfume. And it points to His suffering, His crushing that He would have to go through to experience for us. And one interesting thing about myrrh, it was used in the embalming of the dead. It was prophesying His eventual death. And these men coming from a royal court, were bowing down to Christ. They were bowing down to Him. And the people were around. And they didn't care They didn't care what people thought. They didn't care what people were saying. All they knew was, here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we honor you. We pay homage to you. We surrender to you as our superior. Do we do the same? Do we look at the religiosity of the exercise of Christmas as a form of duty? Do we have an attitude of giving as paying homage to Him who is far superior to us? Do we withhold our best from Him because it would require us to be sacrificial? And here was men who saw it as an honor and a privilege to give all they had. To Him who is worthy of all and owns everything already. They didn't care about who was looking at them. They didn't care about what the cost was. They were willing to go another 1,000 miles if need be to find the King and to pay homage to Him and bow down and acknowledge Him. And for us, they exhibited being unashamed of the King. They really didn't care. They were unashamed of honoring Him first. The Magi is a great illustration for us that the Word tells us to study, to show ourselves approved. And these guys studied, and they were prepared. And when God showed them a sign or spoke to them, they dropped everything to go to where God was leading them to go. They bowed down and were humbled themselves in His presence while acknowledging His authority and His superiority as God. And we don't even raise our hands or bow down or fall on our knees because we're so filled with pride and arrogance and religion that we have not even realized how destitute we are and how empty our hearts are because we don't pay Him homage. It is a great privilege to bow down to Him. Because you see, I know what's coming. I know there's a destruction that's coming upon the land. And how gracious He is to invite us to come into His household and to be a part of His family. And that's all the Magi were doing, was paying Him His rightful praise and honor, due any king. And He isn't just any king. He is the King. They gave expensive gifts of sacrifice out of respect and honor for the King. And we withhold our praise. We withhold the money that we've earned. We withhold our service to Him. Like we're doing Him a favor. And I don't mean this to be a downer, but I want us to understand how imperatively important it is for us to get our thinking right, because the world is telling us that our need for greed is okay. It's what it's about. And the church is lining up with that belief system. It is not. It is not what God is trying to teach us. And they obeyed from their heart to worship God for His divine guidance in their lives. When I come and worship, I don't worship God because He's God. I worship Him because He has given me wisdom for the week, how to handle myself, how to be that person that He wants me to be. And I worship Him that He has given me the gift of repentance, that I can repent before Him and ask for His assistance even more so. That my heart would be open to Him and that His Spirit would flood me even more. And these men did that. In the street. Not in a manger. Not where people could care less. They did it in front of their fellow men and women. Shouldn't we be the ones in this generation giving Him our all, giving Him our best, giving to Him our sacrifice of praise and worship? Shouldn't we be the ones who set in motion for these last days the importance of investing not only our lives but our totality of our being into this move of God, not just when we feel like it? See, Jesus told us it wasn't going to be convenient for us to follow Him. And He promised us that our lives would be filled with inconvenience and tribulation. And believe me, I'm made out of the same stuff as you. I don't like being inconvenient. I don't like having to sacrifice. But you know what? I know the reward is great and held for me in heaven. And so I do it. We need to really allow the Holy Spirit to look at our hearts and see if we're getting caught up in the commercialism of the holiday. We need to allow Him to look at our hearts and see just where we are with this. Just like Jesus is no longer in a manger, we are no longer children tossed to and fro. God expects us to grow, and He expects us to respond. He expects us to study. He expects us to grow up. He expects us to humble ourselves and honor Him as the only living God. He expects us to be obedient, and He expects us to serve. It's good for us to give gifts one to another. It shows appreciation. It shows our love. But when we're stealing from Him, we're not aligned with His Spirit, and we're not aligned with His heart. The Magi came and set an example for all of us. We know that the times of the Gentiles is coming to an end. We know that the last dealings of the Jews is coming. And we know that we can set an example of Christ, which is 24/7, not just one day in a year. And we show that example by willingly exhibiting that joy. You see, when the Magi saw Christ, their hearts were filled with overwhelming joy. What's your heart filled with? In our house, we say this is the time that we have to be jolly. But the truth of the matter is, we try to be jolly all the time and correct our thinking those months in the year. Let us honor our God by not getting caught up in the frivolity of what the world calls Christmas holiday. Let us turn it around on them, that when they wish us happy holidays, we tell them this is Christmas, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I honor Him by saying so. Let us follow suit with the Magi and give our best sacrificially in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank You for the example. We thank You, God, that You ever challenge us not to fall prey to the wiles of the devil or the schemes and plans that he uses through the world to entrap us and ensnare us, God, by the lust of our heart, by the pride of life, and by the lust of our flesh. Father, help us. We need Your help, God, to stay focused on building Your kingdom. We need to stay focused in investing our lives into other people. to help them come to understand that Christmas is every day for the believer. That you have given us the greatest gift, your Son. And that receiving Him, God, we willingly humble ourselves and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I thank You for Your people, God. I thank You that we can be that people, that in that day we will stand and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and know that we have invested our interest, our strength, our lives into the expansion of Your kingdom, so that You may have a throne among Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.